not much new to report on the Dylan Larkin trade front. Yesterday, a list of three teams he apparently preferred that the Red Wings trade him to was made public. Vegas, Florida, and Minnesota. That was met with a collective kind of a you'll go where we trade you and you'll like it type of response from Red Wing fans.
As you would expect. But I mean, if you're Dylan Larkin's camp, are we going to handle anything differently? You're going to, okay, it's a negotiation. You're my top three destinations.
Yeah, it depends how written in stone this list is. And we don't know that. Okay. We don't know if the Red Wings themselves might have said, give us your top three. And he may say, oh, okay, well, here are my top three. Or it might be, I want these three and these three only, and it's written in stone, chiseled, in which case, you know, I don't feel like he deserves any sympathy if he doesn't get traded. This is like, hey, I'd like you to do me a solid, and I'd like you to do it at your own detriment, is a scenario that nobody's on board with in Metro Detroit. Okay, fine. You want traded out? How do you get this to be make the best of a bad situation? Chances are it's not to limit yourself to the three teams of your choice, which those three teams, I mean, how about the Red Wings choose the three teams? How about that?
Right.
How about the Red Wings say, okay, so we own your rights. You're under contract to play for us. You want to be traded. We'll be choosing the three teams, sir. And if he has a no trade clock, you've earned that. That's great. You can void these trades. Then, as a texter said yesterday, we'll see you at practice.
Yeah. Eventually, if I'm Steve Yzerman, if this is all he's going to work with, and you're like, well, I don't think either one of these three teams are going to give us an opportunity to improve our team, so I'm not going to make a deal. You go back to Larkin and you say, okay, look, let's be realistic about this. Give me a list of teams you really don't want to play for, okay? Yeah. We'll try to work that way. We'll try to find some common ground.
Let's invert this.
Yeah, give me the 10 teams that you're like, absolutely not. Like, you don't want to play in Salt Lake City, or you don't want to play in Winnipeg or Ottawa, whatever it is, right? Give me those teams, and I'm going to work with the ones that are left over. And again, I have to do what's best for the Red Wings. And what's best for the Red Wings might be hanging on to Dylan Larkin.
Okay, the other trade story, of course, is Tarek Skubal. And ESPN yesterday sat down and had an interesting exercise where they asked the MLB experts to put on their GM hats, taking the reins of one team and pitching their best realistic offer to land Skubal. From there, ESPN's MLB draft and prospect analyst, Kylie McDaniel, evaluated each deal, dismissing those that came up short and finding ones that actually could get a blockbuster deal done this summer. So they had a bunch of teams put together these offers. And some of them were put in the not even close category. The A's offered 1, 2, 3, 4 players, and it said not even close. The Yankees, this was interesting. The Yankees offer was Spencer Jones, the outfielder that we've talked about, the right-hand pitcher Carlos LaGrange, and a right-hand pitcher Elmer Rodriguez. Said, not bad, but, and under the GM, the response was, unfortunately, even including all three of these prospects, wouldn't get it done because I got better offers than I was expecting from other teams. On pure regular season focus, model-driven math aimed at avoiding big mistakes, this is a solid, defensible offer. That, however, is not the mindset of other GMs brought in for this exercise. For reference, all three of these players, plus Dax Kirby, that would make the full offer my 2, 3, 4, and 5 of the Yankee prospects. So this would be just prospects, but it would be the Yankees 2, 3, 4, if some kind of three of their top five prospects.
Yeah, I'm looking at MLB pipeline for the prospects. Rodriguez is 2, Kilby's 3, LaGrange is 4, Spencer Jones is 6. You could have a basketball team with these guys, by the way.
They're big.
Rodriguez, a pitcher, is 6'4". LaGrange, a pitcher, is 6'7". Spencer Jones is 6'7". And Kilby is 6'2".
Spencer Jones is ranked higher by ESPN, but Spencer Jones is with the big club, correct?
Correct.
He's with the Yankees right now.
Yes.
Other interesting offers. The Brewers organization offered outfielder Luis Lara, who's the number 91 prospect in baseball, their number 6 organizational prospect, a third baseman named Andrew Fisher.
What was the first name you said?
Luis Lara.
Okay.
Number 91 prospect in baseball. The organization's number six prospect, a third baseman named Andrew Fisher, and a right-hand pitcher named Coleman Crow, who was drafted in 2019, is 25 years old and is still in the minors. Now, Milwaukee has an organization that's loaded. This feels like a very underwhelming offer from a Milwaukee team that's deep in prospects.
They're deep in prospects, but a lot of them, well, a couple of them are lower levels, but they've got a bunch of guys that are right at AAA. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Cubs offer was infielder Pedro Ramirez, outfielder Kevin Alcantara, and right-hand pitcher Jackson Wiggins. We've heard this one before. I think this exact offer speculated on by somebody else.
Oh, Wiggins is number three, and the other two guys are already with the team, right?
Yes. Not bad. Not bad at all. I want your take, though, on the one that got it done, which was the Dodgers offer. According to ESPN, the Dodgers offer right-handed pitcher Emmett Sheehan, outfielder Zaire Hope, and shortstop Aiden West gets it done. Sheehan is a good major league starter. Zaire Hope is a top 50 prospect. And Aiden West is a 19-year-old middle infielder who's playing in the Arizona Complex League, so he's rookie ball. And he's turning heads down there, but that's a long way away. This is considered the best offer put together by any beat writer to get Scooble. What do you make of this offer?
Well, Aiden West, I don't even see on their prospect list.
He's rookie ball. He hasn't shown up yet.
But still, he could still be on the top 30 list, and he's not. Zaire Hope is on a tear lately with their AA affiliate. There's a lot to like with him. He's their number two overall rated prospect, hitting .294 this year, .879 OPS. He's got 13 home runs and 55 RBIs in 54 games. There's a lot to like. But they've got so many prospects there that it feels like you could
do better.
You could probably get more than just that.
Well, here's a question I have about. So they add this right-hand pitcher, Emmett Sheehan, and the comment is he would immediately slot into Detroit's rotation.
I'm not so sure.
I'm not sure of that either. I mean, is he... He is with the big club right now, and I don't think he's killing it.
He is. He's thrown 59 innings.
Mm-hmm.
He has a WHIP of 1.21, which is okay, an ERA of 4.7. 64 strikeouts in 59 innings.
I mean, he's in the bigs, but
he's also he's 26. He'll be 27 later this year. I'm seeing if he's what he's done lately. Last game he pitched on Sunday, went an inning and a third, gave up three hits and two runs and two walks.
This is considered the best offer.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the pitcher necessarily, but they've got plenty in their system that would appeal to you if they're willing to part with, a couple of these players. And they've got outfielders that are at AA. They've got a bunch of players at AA that just look like they're all ready to go. But the problem with the Dodgers in their organization is that their big league club, you're blocked.
They're blocked.
You're blocked for years. So it would make sense for the Dodgers to give up some of that talent they have in their system. And this is why everybody says the Dodgers can get it done. The question is, do the Dodgers need to get it done? I don't know if they need to, but if they're willing to make a move, then yeah, we'll go with the Dodgers. They've got all the talent. But we're still so far away. We're going to have Scooble on this team for like 50-something days prior to the trade deadline. So he's got, whatever that is, nine starts that he'll have between now and the trade deadline as a Detroit Tiger.
Well, he he's probably going to start this weekend. The quotes going around Major League Baseball right now is the Tigers are saying they're not interested in trading him, which is the most meaningless thing. Sure, fine, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, so say you now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, things can change in a week. Like, 100%. This is why a week later, it's five out of six games you've won. We're not just there yet, but let this play out for another couple weeks and see where the team is at. My guess is the team is going to be playing better baseball. I don't know if they're going to be playing great baseball, but better than .500 over the next couple weeks. That's right. Entirely possible.
248-539-9797. We talk to you next. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Okay, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Let's get to your phone calls. We go to Bill in Farmington Hills. You're on 97.1. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, this whole Dylan Larkin thing, the days that go on makes Larkin look worse and worse. This guy is just basically angling to get booed off the ice. You know, the minute he steps into the LCA, he just looks horrible. The fact that nobody's denying any of this just tells us all that, you know, what's being written is true. This was so poorly handled, and this falls squarely on Larkin. You can hate the Eisner plan all day long, and we all do, but this should have been done behind closed doors, you know, behind, you know, away from the cameras, away from the press. He screwed this up. This is such a crap.
Well, hold on.
I can't stand this guy.
Hold on, Bill. So you're assuming that he leaked it?
Yeah, what benefit would the Red Wings do in leaking it?
I don't think the Red Wings leaked it either. Is it possible
somebody
that
from his side did?
Why do you think it's his side? It would actually hurt his side.
Well, I don't think there's any way Yzerman did, so I don't think the Red Wings.
Yeah, Yzerman's. My guess is that he made this request and probably made it well before we heard about it. Yzerman started talking to other teams about a Larkin trade. And those other teams served as the leak. That's what makes the most sense to me.
That's a possibility. But the fact that nobody is denying any of this from Larkin's side.
Well, yeah, because it's true. Yeah. If it's true that he wants to be traded.
That's fine. He wants to be traded. But, I mean, three teams? Matthew Stafford?
That's a different deal, okay? The idea that he should have a vast array of teams to make it more realistic that the Red Wings can do something. Because regardless of what, so Bill, let's start with this before we get into the three teams thing. Your anger, I think, is misplaced on Dylan's side. I don't think Dylan leaked it. I don't think anybody from Dylan's side leaked it. Well, it would hurt his tradable value. They wouldn't want to do that.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, essentially, he's trying to force something. He's trying to get out of town with 5 years left on his contract.
And the best way to do that is for this to be silent and just let the Red Wings go about their business so that other teams don't call in with lowball offers because they think the Red Wings are desperate. Like,
you make a valid point, yep. And you're right.
Now, the three teams Bill, the three teams thing is absurd. It's absurd. He's asking an organization that has signed him to a big contract that has made him very wealthy to turn around and do him a solid. And he's earned his money. Like, you've earned your money. That's fine. But you're asking them to do you a solid under your terms where you limit the potential return to the organization you're asking to do you a favor.
Yeah, but you know how you guys always say, like, well, we don't know the full story, right?
Yep.
Always say that, right?
Yep.
How do you know that Yzerman didn't go to him, hey, give me some teams you would be interested in getting traded to? And he gave him three teams.
Nope, we don't know that.
So, you know what I mean? Like, maybe he's like, these are my preferred three teams, right. You know? Obviously, he's probably open to more, be honest with you, because he's got it. If he really wants to get out of Detroit, he's going to have opened it up.
It's an important point to make. You're right. If he hasn't opened him up, if it's sort of a soft list,
yeah,
that's fine.
Of course. Like, hey, what's your top three? Well, here are my top three.
So here's where I'm going to say, where maybe after further thought, I might agree with the previous caller a little bit that it could be Larkin's camp.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're trying to work on things behind the scenes, if Yzerman is going to work a deal and he knows that Larkin wants to be traded, he's not going to tell teams that Larkin wants to be traded. He wants out of here. I don't think he's going to say that.
He might not. No.
So how does that word get out? Because the reports are that Larkin asked for the trade.
Might be a team calling his agent and asking his agent questions. And they might say, well, he wants to leave Detroit. Like, but they might say, keep it on the down low. I can't imagine them at any point, anybody wanting this to be public. is it from the Red Wings side?
No, I can't imagine either. I think you want to get something done, and then, but obviously, it's tough to do when you've got a player that has a no trade clause.
Yes. Let's go to Mike in Minneapolis. You're next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? I'm actually in town here in Detroit. I'm going to be going to that Tigers-Twins game tonight. I'm really excited to see Comerica Park for the first time. And, you know, I've been here to Detroit about five times. And, you know, in Minnesota, they call it Minnesota Nice. That's, you know, I guess what we're supposed to be like. But I got to tell you, don't take it for granted what you have here in Detroit, because no matter where I've been in town, everybody goes out of the way to say hello. I mean, as an example, I'm here at Belle Isle just kind of hanging out. I was at a picnic table, and just some guy walks by and says, I hope you're having a great day. So just want to give a lot of respect and love to all of you in Detroit.
Well, thank you.
Excited to go check out the game. Really, really excited about going to that ballpark and, you know, growing up, you know, watching Fielder hit, you know, bombs off, you know, the old stadium's roof. Is just it's just an awesome city, and I really enjoy this show. You guys have a good pace, so it's pretty fun listening to all of this.
Cool. Well, thanks. Hopefully you don't get rained on, although you probably will.
Well, you know what? I did some research before, and so I got seats in what's called the Tiger Den, which should an overhang over the top.
Yeah,
so, you know, when you come from Minnesota, we deal with weather all the time.
This is true.
So, you know, I'm kind of almost like on the edge of a certified meteorologist with all the snow and all the stuff we get. So you get used to this type of stuff. So I did my research ahead of time, but definitely looking forward to the game.
Do you like your stadium? The new Target Field?
I really do. You got to remember, when I was growing up, we had the Metrodome, okay? So these really terrible blue seats. I mean, it's just how I grew up. Yep. Terrible turf. So when they went outdoors, I mean, that's what you really feel what baseball is outdoors. So I do love it. But again, just looking forward to this stadium. I mean, we have our own problems in Minnesota with ownership with the Twins and never making moves. So it's kind of interesting hearing the perspective here in Detroit, you know, some of the things that you guys are thinking about. But again, just outdoor baseball for me in Detroit. I mean, it's going to be awesome. Whether there's some rain or not, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to have a good time.
You know, it's interesting because when I think of the Minnesota professional teams, I think that their stadiums, they look awesome. I haven't had the chance to go to any of them. But the football stadium looks incredible. The baseball stadium, what I like about that is that it's like built into the ground and built kind of really steep. So the sight lines should be pretty great no matter where you're at.
I sat in the upper deck there. It felt closer to the field than most upper decks.
And the hockey and basketball team playing in the same arena, right?
Yeah, the hockey team has a separate arena. Basketball team is at the Target Center. They're trying to get a new one. But again, it's living in Minnesota, here's the thing. I'm a big sports fan, but it's always, no matter what team it is, it's next year. Oh, hey, we got it. We're going to do it next year. And like, I got family members. I'm sure it's the same here in Detroit with you guys, where I'll have a family member for the Vikings that it's like, we pick up some like mid linebacker that's just, you barely know who he is. And they go, oh, that's the one we need. And I'm telling you, this is the year. Look, we haven't won the big, you know, anything big since 91 with the Twins, so it's been a long, long drought. So,
well, enjoy your stay here in Detroit. It sounds like you're already off to a good start.
We appreciate your call, Mike. Thank you for sharing. 248-539-9797. Jewel is next on 97.1. Hello, Jewel.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Nothing. I just, you know, I'm a lifelong Red Wings fan. I was born in 86, so I got the greatest childhood ever in hockey, you know? Yeah, but it's tough because, you know, Dylan got drafted and he was a kid, and he's not really a kid now. And, you know, I, as much as I've been a Dylan hater, I want to say that, like, these last couple of years, I've really tried to be as optimistic as I could. But it's been the same season where he just gets so amped up and he's pumped for this, like, the world tournament and then for the Olympics. And he comes back and he plays flat. And at the end of the season, he's got the game on his stick in a shootout, and he misses the net. And these are, you know, must-win games to make it to the playoffs. And, yeah, I mean, I get it. And I know that, like, yeah, having James Van Riemsdyk go out on a shootout, yeah, we don't look great. And even with Patrick Kane, I remember thinking, like, come on, guys. Like, we're grabbing at straws. But there was one thing he said after the Olympics, and I'll never forget it. My friend actually reminded of it to me the other day when the news broke. And that was, he was talking about when Jack Hughes scored the goal, and he just said that, you know, he was like, oh, I was like skating off the ice and I just look behind me and I see Jack, you know, and he's got the game on a stick and he scores and he wins. And, you know, I think Dylan's great. I think he's a great hockey player, but I don't think he's the guy who you want when the game's on the line. You know, you don't necessarily want him to have the puck on his stick. It's like the whole, when we lost against, you know, when Lidstrom had that shot and we lost in the finals in game seven against Pittsburgh in 2008, I think it was 2009. And, yeah, like that, you know, Lidstrom's as great as a player as he was, maybe if somebody like Datsyuk or Zetterberg had the puck, they could have maybe done something to, you know, to Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe a little bit more patience or done a little bit more of like a goal scorers thing. I don't know. I hate, and it's like with the last caller, like we should be grateful. You know, we've had a great wow. Detroit sports, you know, I mean, yeah, the things with the Lions, but these last couple of years have been great. But, you know, we're lucky as Detroit sports fans, I would say, you know. But it's a tough.
He kind of landed the plane, but not really. That plane was in a holding pattern for a while.
The ratio of words to message was one of the greatest I've ever seen. I don't know what the message was, but he said a lot.
It was a lot. I think the message was, he doesn't think that Dylan Larkin is the go-to guy.
I didn't think so either, but then he was talking about everything we should be grateful for, and I'm like, including Dylan Larkin? It was a lot of words.
A lot.
Thank you for the call. Carson Anderson, 97.1. As best we could tell, the previous caller didn't love Larkin and also loved Larkin. A little confused. There was a lot going on there. Matt is next on 97.1. Hi, Matt.
Hey, well, good afternoon, guys. So I do think that Larkin will open his team selection given enough time because, you know, three teams, it's almost impossible to get fair trade value for Detroit.
Yep.
But I do think, Vegas would probably be the best because, you know, Vegas would get Larkin. Detroit could get, is it Brisson, Hanifin, a first round pick. But the other reason I called for Scooble, I think he should go, I think Baltimore should trade with him. Because you can get Bassalo, Mayo, and Povich from the Orioles, and the Orioles get Scooble, and that's like a very fair trade.
So you think they would give up Bassalo, Mayo, and Povich? And Mayo and Bassalo are part of their future, but Bassalo is blocked by Adley Rutschman.
No, Bassalo's playing right now.
But Rutschman's their guy, right?
Yeah, but they both played. They have their three at-bats separate the two. Bassalo has 177 at-bats this year.
Is he mostly Rutschman doing it as a DH? Or are they rotating him probably?
I think they're just flipping around, yeah. But they're both doing the same thing. I mean, they're both over 800 OPS guys. For a rental, I don't know if they would do that. I mean, Kobe Mayo has been disappointing for them, for sure.
I just feel like the Tigers are going to want to get as much as they can.
Those are major league ready guys. And those are guys that were once incredibly highly rated prospects. Could Baltimore survive without them by adding Scooble and make a playoff push? I mean, that'd be an interesting decision. My guess is they wouldn't do it because they're playing those guys. But, you know, typically these trades are, here are guys we're not playing for your guy that is playing because we're trying to win now.
Well, right. But, you know, also, I guess looking at the division, you know, they're nine games back.
Only a couple out of the wild card, though. Baltimore? Sure. You're talking about Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. A couple out of the wild card. But do they want to give up a cornerstone piece like Bassalo for for a rental?
It'd be interesting to see two former highly regarded prospects who aren't killing it.
Salo is.
Mayo's not, right?
No, Mayo is hitting 194 with a 639. His OPS is good, but Basalo is hitting well.
Basalo's doing better. My bad. My bad.
810 OPS.
Yeah. I don't think they'd do that. Be cool if they did. Time for another edition. Are you going to eat that? All right, these are new menu items, things you can get off the shelf. Gator, you, we get your opinion, Kang's opinion. We actually have a taste test here as well, thanks to Officer Matt, who brought us some.
Again?
Yeah.
Love this guy.
We start with Entenmann's. They just brought back a fan favorite for the summer. The Entenmann's Orange Cream Glazed Pop'ems. These are donut holes that feature the brand's signature melt-in-your-mouth cake, now flavored with orange and drizzled in a vanilla glaze. The result is a soft, fluffy, tangy, and delightfully sweet donut that perfectly captures the essence of the creamsicle in all things summer. Gator, are you going to eat that?
Yeah, I'd eat the hell out of that. That's Entenmann's. When I was a kid, Entenmann's was like, that was a treat. If mom or dad came home with a grocery store and they had like a coffee cake from Entenmann's, I was so that just happened. That was amazing. And then, you know, you got to look both ways when you take a slice of it, so nobody's seeing what how big of that slice is. It's so good. So good.
You trying to sneak a bigger slice than
Do you have more than your brother would?
Yeah.
Can you?
I love orange creamsicle stuff. And so, yeah, this little small little donut holes, were they, Doug, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is perfect. Yeah. I'm in.
I don't like orange creamsicle stuff, so I'm not...
Vitamin C, man.
Yeah. Next up.
Orange is vitamin C.
You know what's funny is like orange-flavored things I don't like. I like an orange. I do not like orange-flavored things.
Interesting.
I like strawberries. I do not like strawberry-flavored things. But that brings us to the next one. Wendy's is releasing some new menu items, including this specific Frosty. An exclusive collaboration with Illumination's Minions and Monsters, Wendy's is dropping a new limited edition Frosty, the Banana Frosty Swirl, Wendy's beloved vanilla Frosty base blended with sweet banana cream sauce. The Wendy's Banana Frosty Swirl. Gator, are you going to eat that?
I'm looking over at Bobby. Bobby's just shaking his head up and down. Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yes! You kidding me? Take my money. First of all, Frosty's great. No matter what flavor Frosty, it's always great. You're going to give me a banana-flavored one with some banana cream in there? Hell yes. Oh, yeah. Daddy like.
Can you?
This is interesting. Is it like, it's not a smoothie, it's a Frosty.
Yep.
I'm going to try it. I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely going to try it, but I'm more interested in what Doug would do, because Doug is like a banana smoothie type of guy.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Oh, see?
Where I do not like orange-flavored things or strawberry-flavored things, I do like banana.
Yeah, there you go.
As a flavor, and I'm not, you know how you get stuff that is flavored like.
Yeah.
So I'm a yes on this.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, banana stuff doesn't taste like banana.
I know. Like, you know, and I don't think strawberry stuff tastes like strawberry.
Orange is the closest.
And I think it sucks. But the banana flavoring is a flavor that I like.
One of my favorite ice cream flavors is banana pudding. You can find it in like mom and pop ice cream shops around town. There's one in Clark's in Berkeley. I've got banana pudding flavored ice cream. Stroh's, I think, over in Birmingham has it too. It's so good. Oh.
To celebrate the World Cup, Coors Light is introducing a limited edition Taller Boy. Most beer drinkers are familiar with the Tall Boy. Well, debuting today, the new Taller Boy canister, a limited edition, taller than a Tall Boy canister, designed to hold and chill three full Coors Light cans at once, is available. Coors Light fans can get the Taller Boy exclusively at shop.coorslight.com for $30. Gator, the new
what?
Shop.coorslight.com for $30.
For three beers?
Well, three tall boys. Like three tall boys, right? Eventually.
Three taller boys. Uh-huh. Yeah. Three tall boys.
So
makes it one taller boy.
Yep.
So what's a tall boy? 16 ounces?
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's a gimmick. Like, it's clearly, you know, it's not.
No.
I don't think people are buying it for the beer necessarily. They're buying it because it's a little.
It looks different. It's like a yard. Like,
nah, that's all right.
No?
All right. No?
I call this the Wemby. By the way, that thing is like, that is a tall boy.
Have you seen it?
I'm looking at it right now.
Does it have, no, this is a pathetic question, but does it have the wide mouth?
I can't see the mouth part, but it has like 18 O's in Coors. It's hilarious. This is funny. It's like, it's Coors Light.
Are you interested?
I mean, just to have people look at me? Sure. Okay.
I'll try it.
Hey, look at that guy.
All right. I see a picture of it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a tall, tall, tall boy.
You know what this is going to turn into.
What?
I don't.
This is a bong waiting to happen. Are you kidding me?
This isn't 1975 anymore,
man. Are you sure?
Yes.
See, my thought was back in your guys' possible college partying days for the wizard staff.
The what?
Where you stack cans on top of each other. Oh, you guys never did that?
Yeah.
And you tape them together?
Well, we kind of did some versions of that. But
this is, this is, it's a gimmick. It's stupid.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I might try this. Yeah,
it's a
I
think type
I'm,
of beer,
yeah,
dog,
yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, a long haul beer
and a big World Cup game.
I gotta get one of these.
They're friendly.
All right, next up, Gator. Tom Brady has launched a new coconut water.
Oh, here we go. Doug, you could not be happier, Doug.
Scott, it's called Good Nut. It's the latest in celebrity-backed health beverage.
Doug's definitely in.
I can't even.
Tom Brady is expanding his business empire Good with the nut. Launch of Good Nut, a coconut-flavored water. Fans can purchase Good Nut's flagship coconut water, a sparkling coconut water, and a wholly unexpected chocolate coconut water, a dairy-free option described as the only certified organic chocolate coconut water on the market and... I'm not seeing this in the story, but Jansen told me today that its slogan was "It's a mouthful." Gator, are you interested in Good Nut?
I mean, come on, you can't say things like "It's a mouthful" and "Good Nut." Come on, what do we? I'm out. Absolutely out. No,
can you
coconut water?
I'm betting Doug wishes this was in a taller boy as well. I'm out. This is all for Doug.
It's all
for Doug, man.
Damn right, I'm going to try this.
Tom Brady.
Doug wants a mouthful of Good Nut.
And finally, Officer Matt brought in today a new M&M that I think we've done on Are You Going to Eat That? The Banana Nut Bread M&Ms.
What?
Yep. I'm going to open the bag here, and I'd like you to sample the banana nut bread M&Ms. Holding out to the camera for those of you watching on Twitch and YouTube. This is banana nut bread M&Ms. Gator, are you ready?
Oh.
I'm just going to pour some out here, bro. And there you go. There's a few. I'll try a few.
Kang, we'll get some. Give me two.
Right here, and take a bag. Okay, these are pretty good.
I'll take the bag.
These are pretty good.
So does this taste like banana?
It tastes like banana flavoring.
Yeah.
Not really.
Gator, you like these? You like these?
Yeah, I like them. But these I'm not sure I would identify this as banana.
They're peanut M&Ms. Oh, I'm...
With banana nut
flavoring,
bread?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, we'll bring them back.
Try it, yeah.
You and Bobby can try them behind the glass. So we both agree. You like these?
Yeah, I like them, but I don't think it's banana.
Well, it says on the bag, banana, but...
I'm not disputing that. I'm saying it doesn't really taste banana.
You guys can try behind the glass, so we both agree, Kang. We'll get your 2 cents coming up. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Kang, did you think that that was banana forward?
I wouldn't say forward. I think the biggest flavor I tasted was like the peanut part.
Yep.
But there's like a hint of like, do you remember those candies Runt with the fruit?
Yeah.
Okay, like, do you remember the banana in there? I feel like there was a little hint of like those little bananas flavored in there.
Look, I also
it depends on what, I don't know, M&M you get, I guess.
I like the M&M. I just didn't think it was very, it didn't taste like banana to me, but I thought it was really good.
I'm with you. I didn't taste much banana at all.
It's like a spice in there, or something like a spice cake almost, but I don't know if I got banana. Doug, you got a lot of banana.
I liked it, yeah. I thought I had the banana flavoring that I'm a fan of, but.
You get that with the one nut, or good nut, or whatever it is.
What's that?
The good nut? Is that what it was?
That's coconut.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying wash it down with it.
Well, we don't have any of that.
Get a mouthful.
Officer Matt, get on that.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
All right. Well, thank you to Officer Matt for dropping those off.
Thank you very much.
Coming up today in 102, Gator has what he wants to see happen with the Red Wings this offseason. What he wants to see happen with the Red Wings this offseason. 248-539-9797. Brandon in Shelby Township, you are next. Hello, Brandon.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
First off, I love when you guys do a get out of the water to somebody. That's like my favorite bit.
So, look, just to explain it so people, hopefully they understand we're not being rude. The idea of the show is to keep it moving, and we've been told, you know, keep the callers pretty much coach. You get a minute, and we're not cutting into your time, Brandon. We'll give you time. Get a minute. Make your point. He was at 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and we weren't sure where he was going when the music started. We probably should have started the music earlier. But that is a circling shark, and you need to land the plane or get out of the water before you get cut off. So, anyway, enough of that.
So, at the beginning of the season, we started off to a good record, and then we got swept by the Twins. So, now we were really bad, and we beat a couple of good teams. Now people are like, now we have the Twins again. So, I mean, not only should we beat the Twins, but maybe a sweep.
Well, they got some making up to do. The Twins, it's really odd if you look at the teams the Tigers have struggled against recently and the teams the Tigers have beaten recently. It's been, I mean, they get dominated by teams like the Orioles, but then they come out and they take 2 or 3 from Seattle. How they're doing, they sweep Tampa. It makes no sense. This season has been totally nonsensical.
So a couple callers ago, you guys had the Minnesota guy come on. Mm-hmm. So I know it's kind of off topic, but a couple years ago, I went to the Vikings-Lions game, and I went to Minnesota, and people were like, oh, I hope your team does good today. So like most times, you're like, I hope your team loses. But people in Minnesota actually like told them my team won. They were very nice people.
I have no problem with any Minnesota fans.
Minnesotans?
Yeah.
They are good people.
I felt... When I went to, I've been to the stadium for football a couple times, the Gophers. I get a little bit of Canadian vibe.
Well, yeah, it's way up there.
Yep. There's something about hardy people of the north.
This is a Uper vibe, yeah.
That's the crossover between Canadians and Australians is pretty significant. But yeah, very friendly crew up there in Minnesota. I hope all fans here in Detroit, Michigan, and Michigan State are welcoming. Because tailgating together with opposing fans can be really fun.
Yeah.
It can also be like filled with obnoxious people. Nobody likes that.
Yeah, I mean, like any walk in life, don't be a jackass.
Rules to live by. Scott the Gator Anderson.
That's my golden rule.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad one. Not a bad one. 248-539-9797. More feedback coming in regarding the Bears thing. Hammond is not that far away, but all that stadium revenue and parking revenue, all of that would stay in Indiana. Brian in Berkeley, Doug went to Chicago last year. I had to help 3 people at the toll booth with their credit cards. Those things suck. So there's toll booths along the Skyway that are manned by people. That is right when you get into Illinois, you cross that big bridge, and then the same thing going the other way when you go into Indiana. Coming out of Chicago, on your way, what would conceivably be a game day trip. We did this past Sunday. From downtown Chicago to Hammond. 2 toll booths, both manned. First toll booth, 15-minute wait. Second one, 45-minute wait. Easy Pass can cut back on that, but you can just drive through. And I would imagine many people in Chicago would have the Easy Pass. But the second toll booth, the backup was so long that there was still three lanes of traffic, I believe it was. And it was all backed up because it was before the lanes opened up to like seven lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Easy Pass, people couldn't get to the Easy Pass without having to sit in traffic for 30 minutes.
Why was there traffic? Because every time I've gone to Chicago, I've never had a problem.
I have. And I think it's because they've gone to the credit cards.
I have a problem getting through downtown Chicago, but I didn't have any problem.
When's the last time you drove the Skyway?
Last summer, two summers ago.
And you, do you know when you drove it? I mean, part of it might be Sunday summer. Night.
It was a summer. It would have been on a Friday afternoon.
I have noticed the wait time being significantly longer since they've changed to credit cards. One. Two is maybe just a Sunday night, people going back to Michigan from maybe. Chicago.
That could be.
It was brutal. And on a game day, I would imagine it would be worse. Now, they got 3 years to sort something out. Maybe they'll allow free access on game days so people don't have to pull over and just whatever. More feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. It's going to be an absolute disaster. They'll have to add lanes to the Skyway. It's an absolute mess. That's from Gabe in Livonia. Guys, there are multiple trains that run from Chicago to Hammond every day. That will help. True. Tougher to tailgate when you take a train? I mean, you can. You can pack everything in a backpack and cooler, I guess.
Not everybody's tailgating.
That's true. And then this. No way the Bears move to Hammond. The city will find a way to get the money. Hammond is not only outside the city, it's an industrial wasteland.
Well, this would be the product of mismanagement of funds over the years in Chicago, right? If they truly have no money to put forth, which is that's a real problem they have.
Yep.
So that's why they look for the best deal. I can't believe that they're not going to be in Arlington Heights. And that had been talked about for years. That's been talked about, and instead it's going to be Hammond, Indiana. Amazing.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens. And I, having now done a little research, reconnaissance mission to Hammond. Ooh. It's Carson Anderson. All right, Gator, what you want to have happen this Red Wings offseason? We'll get to that today at 102 on 97.1.